Wolfpack Nation, this is Scott Woods, One Man Wolfpack. We have a very, very special guest today, a good friend of mine, a guy I wish I would have played with. He was redshirting my senior year. We really could have used him. He averaged 11.7 points a game, 3 rebounds a game. He's ninth. This is a big one. Ninth all-time in NC State history, and he was only here for 2 years in three-point shooting. 266 career three-pointers made. That was him at LSU and NC State. A great overall guy, someone that I've gotten close to, even though, you know, we didn't necessarily play a season together. Ralston Turner.
So, man, I'm glad to be here. You know, I love you, man. Let's go.
Well, you're the first person that I've had on twice.
That's special. That's special, man.
So before we move on, let me tell you guys a little bit about our partners over at Bet Rivers Sportsbook. If you haven't signed up with Bet Rivers yet, now's the time because they're offering a $250 match bonus for your first deposit. But what sets them apart is that they require just one playthrough to turn your bonus into cash money. With their new Rush Pay instant approval, withdrawing your winnings is safer, more secure, and more reliable. With basketball season tipping off, get in on the action by going to BetRivers.com today or by downloading BetRivers iOS app. Must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. So because it's Ralston's second time, we've gone through a lot of the questions, you know, about him, what he's doing now. So now we're going to focus more on this team. So we've gotten some questions from Alex, as you can see, who's our editor. She currently goes to NC State, so she'll have some questions for us, some questions that we've got from Twitter and some fans. So we'll just go over these questions, bounce them off, kind of get some ideas and some feels for this NC State basketball team. So Alex, go ahead and get us started.
So far early in the season, what are some good, positive, and negatives you've learned from the team?
I'll let you take it first, Ralston. You're the guest.
All right. I appreciate that. So I would say the positives that I've seen early this year is number one. And I think you can agree with this. I mean, they play their tails off. Yep. So you always know what you're going to get with them when you come out there because they're going to play their tails off. They're going to defend. They're going to get into the ball. So that to me has been the positive just from an overall standpoint. You know, I think the only – negative that I've seen was, I mean, it's like the most obvious negative that probably everyone else is thinking about, and that's, you know, just our inside presence with Manny Bates. Yeah, he's not there anymore. And I was actually at the first game when he went out, and I knew right away that was going to be a major blow to this team. It's not necessarily to say that, you know, it's not anything that they can't overcome, but I mean, we all know it's a lot easier when you got big fella back there protecting the rim. So I think really for me, that's just the most, you know, eye glaring negative is, you know, what is it going to look like, you know, in terms of the anchor of that defense with Manny gone?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I completely agree with what you're saying. So I think one of the real positives for me is guard play. I feel like they have a legit, you know, 6-7 guys, that are guards that can get on the court and legitimately get some minutes. And then, obviously, the one glaring thing that, I mean, everybody can agree on is just who's going to rebound the basketball. I think Ebenezer last game had one rebound, 10 points and one rebound. So with Manny being out, you got to find a way to rebound the ball. I think, you know, when we were playing, I think Bobby Lutz called it gang rebound. So
yep.
That's one of the things that the guards this year, they're really going to have to do with Manny being out. Obviously everybody's going to look to the bigs and be like, okay, they got to rebound more, but at the same time, the guards got to come in and collapse and really kind of clean some things up to take some pressure off those bigs.
Right. Couldn't agree with you more.
With Manny out, how do you think Jalen and Ebenezer have fared so far?
So far, I mean, I think they've done a pretty good job. I mean, I think they've done as well as they can. You know, obviously, I don't believe you can, you know, they're not Manny Bates, and, you know, they can't necessarily replace Manny Bates, but they can do it by committee. So, you know, I've watched a few games this year, and I know, you know, I'll just use for example the Bucknell game. They had a guy inside, you know, pretty stout guy. You know, and for a while there, especially in the first half, he gave us some problems. And then obviously the Oklahoma State game, you know, you got a guy inside who, you know, kind of gave us some problems there. So I think they've done okay up to this point. But, you know, most definitely we're going to have to figure out a way when we go against especially bigger bigs, heavier bigs, you know, we're going to have to get that one figured out.
Yeah, and I think, again, I mean, I'm probably going to reiterate all the things you pretty much say. It's going to be by committee. I don't think, you know, Ebenezer, Jalen, it's going to have to be all on one person. And they're not going to replace, you know, an all-defensive team, a guy that's going to end up leading, you know, NC State all-time in career blocks. One of the really, really good bigs that has come through this, you know, university. So it's just one of those things that they're going to have to do it together. And obviously, it's still early in the season, and I know fans and other people are going to want them to move a little bit quicker, but I think you have seen the growth you've seen in just the little games, them continue to get better. And this is one of the things too, that I didn't really, especially the last game, I think it was Louisiana Tech, where the big guy ended up having 36 and 18.
Yep.
So my question is to you, I don't know if I've seen Coach Keats do this a lot. At some point, are you going to have to send them help? Are you going to have to double team? I mean, are you going to, you know, there's many ways you can do it. You can double team off the first pass. You can double team off the worst shooter. So is that one of the things that you'd maybe like to see them try and do just to kind of give them a little bit of help?
So the answer to that question is I've actually had the same thought at one point or another watching the game. But it also depends on, you know, who we're playing. I mean, you know, in some ways you might have a big that, you know, maybe he can get some buckets, but he can't win the game. You know what I'm saying? So in that case, you don't want to overextend yourself, get too caught up. And then what happens is you ended up leaving guys open that don't need to be open. You know, and again, you know, watching some of these games, you know, you've seen some of the opposing team's big guy where he gets it and he's been able to take multiple dribbles and just kind of put his shoulder into their chest so he can get to the basket. Right. So I think, you know, depending on who it is, I would probably go with trying to double team because, I mean, something that we're probably not talking about enough right now is, you know, even without Manny, you let big guys keep putting their shoulder in your chest and backing you down. What does that create? That creates foul trouble.
Yeah.
So now you're basically playing with only one of the bigs. So, you know, even just to manage foul trouble, you may just want to say, all right, we don't want to put you in a situation where you have to keep banging up against him. You know what I'm saying? We want to, if they throw it in the post, you know, we're going to come early and try to get them to throw the ball out, and then we'll just rotate from there.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. A lot of it is it's that KYP, know your personnel. Who are we doubling off of? You know, there's certain people we don't want to double off of, and there are certain people, you know, you want to take that shot and leave them open. So it does. It solely depends on who you're playing that night. I mean, if you have an elite big, I think they're going to have to send different types of defenses at them, whether, you know, they mix up a zone or, you know, a double team, something like that. They'll definitely have to mix it up. So that's one of the things that I especially last game, I kind of thought about, was just to kind of take the pressure off those bigs.
Right.
With some strong guard play, how do you think that has helped State with Manny Bates out?
Well, I think that's how they're going to have to do it, right? I mean, especially with Manny being gone, I mean, the guards are going to have to step up. You know, obviously you've got Cam Hayes, you've got Sebron, you've got Baby T, even Casey Morsell. You know, I've actually been really impressed with that group. I feel like they've all been really solid. You know, I feel even I can't leave Jericho Helms. I know he plays, you know, give or take the four, sometimes three.
The kid's a guard. I don't care. He might play a four for State, but he's a guard. We're gonna be
Okay. So I'm gonna throw him in that too. Like, I like the collection of guards that they have, and I think right now is a prime opportunity, you know, for them to really step up and kind of lead the charge, because honestly, they're going to have to, you know, most of the scoring is going to have to come from the guard position.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things too, is the one thing everybody's thinking, you know, the defensive side, we don't have a shot blocker, we don't have a rebounder. But one of the things too is, I mean, he's going to get you 10, 11, 12 points a game. I mean, that's a consistent. He's going to get an offensive rebound. He's going to get a putback. All he needs is three of those to get 6 points. You got to assume he's going to get fouled twice. That's two or three free throws there. He's got 9 points. That's one of those consistencies that now you're missing. So you got to find a way to fill that, you know, that what those points that you're missing. And I think with the guards, especially, they just got to be aggressive and they just got to have that consistency each night. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, one of the nice parts about, you know, our, like a team I was playing on, and I'm sure it was the same for you. Obviously you had TJ when he started to explode a little bit more, but we had a bunch of guys averaging double figures. Right. It's hard to guard a bunch of guys with double figures. I mean, you're looking right at a scouting report and you see four or five guys that can legit get, you know, 15 to 20 in a night. It's hard to guard. So it's just one of those things that I think they're just going to, like we mentioned it, gang rebound, help them on the defensive end. I know, you know, Coach Keats likes to press and really pressure. Maybe we pack it in a little bit more, understand who we're guarding, close out to the shooter still, and just kind of help that way. It's just one of the things that this is one of the guard group, the core that I've really kind of enjoyed. They're a little bit younger, but, you know, they mix in some really good sophomore guards there with Sebron and Cam Hayes. We throw Jericho in there, a little bit upperclassmen. So they'll and then the freshmen will just kind of figure it out as they go. So
yep.
That's one of the things that I've really, you know, kind of enjoyed to see is the guard play out of this.
With Sebron averaging 18 and 10, how do you think he prepared this offseason to get off to such a great start?
You know what, Scott? My initial impressions about him, I mean, obviously I know that they get in there and they work and, you know, he's working on his body, you know, he's working on his game. But the thing that sticks out to me the most is his confidence.
Yeah.
I mean, last year, I know, especially as, you know, conference play started going on, you know, his role started to increase. And it seems like now he's just comfortable, man. Like,
yeah,
you know, he knows what he is. He knows what his strengths are. I mean, getting it off the rim, taking it coast to coast. I mean, so I was at practice, maybe this was before the pandemic. So this was the year I think maybe he didn't get to play. He sat out.
Yeah.
I remember seeing him. And I was just impressed because I felt like, you know, his combination of size and athleticism, you know, and at the guard position, I mean, geez, like you're starting to see some of those things now or some of the same thoughts that I had then. I mean, he is a problem. And yeah. I didn't know he was that fast. But, you know, I've been really impressed with him. I think just the most eye-glaring thing for me has just been his confidence, man.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things where he's kind of a dog. You know, he works really hard. That's one of the things, you know, me and you would appreciate. We may not be, you know, the most athletically gifted, but he puts in the time, he works at it. And that's one of the things that just stood out to me. It's very similar to what you said. It's just, you know, Devin Daniels is gone. He knows he's got to step up and get those minutes, you know. Even though, you know, he's a redshirt sophomore, they're still looking to him as, you know, one of those guys that is in a leadership role, especially with Manny Bates out now. So it's just one of those things where he's, you know, he knows that he's got to bring it every night. And one of the things that's really impressed me is, you know, when Cam Hayes leaves the floor, guess who's playing point guard?
Yep.
Sebron is playing. You got a 6'7" guy bringing the ball up the court, you know, flashes of, you know, Julius Hodge bringing the ball up the court. So it's just one of those things is that he put that work in the offseason. I mean, we've all kind of gone through it. You know, you got things you want to work on, and I'm sure he did as well. I mean, last game we got a 3 out of him, which is what I like to see a little bit more. So it's like I said, like you kind of said, if he just keeps growing that confidence, he's going to get more and more comfortable. And I expect him to stay, you know, right at that 18 and 10 mark because he works at it. So I'm impressed. Very impressed.
Shame.
Have you seen any style changes offensively or defensively this year, especially now with Manny Bates out?
Scott, I know we kind of hit on this just earlier a little bit, but for me, I mean, I very much think they, on offense, you know, you see a lot of the same things.
Yeah.
You know, they spread the court out. Obviously, they love to attack. I love their double ball screen action that they get. You know, when they reverse it to the second side,
Yeah.
Gives guys great opportunities to turn the corner and get into the lane. But I think, you know, what has been good to see from this team is out of that offense, you know, in years previous, it may have been one or two guys that's going to make most of the plays.
Yeah.
But it could be any of them now. Like, it could literally be any of them. You know, Marcel might have it going. You know, Cam might have it going. My man Sebron's going to have it going. Hellums out there have it going. He's even setting the ball screen, popping, you know, knocking it down.
Yeah.
So, you know, from the offensive standpoint, I feel like if anything, you know, they're just getting contributions from more people. I think defensively, obviously, and, you know, I was thinking about this when they were playing Colgate, maybe. So when you've got Manny back there and you know he's back there, obviously they already play hard and they get into the ball. But just imagine what that defense would look like when they're like, all right, we know we got Manny back there. We're really fixing to crawl up into you. And if you get by us, you know, good luck.
Yeah.
So that's just something that it was an observation for me, especially. I don't know why so much the Colgate game, but that's just what I've seen.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, even off that, they're, it's one of the things I know Coach Keatsy wants to get up in you. You know, he wants to apply that full court pressure. But I think for this team to really be successful, and I mean, a couple of times on their press, they've given up some really, really easy ones.
Yep.
That's going to translate to, you know, Manny Bates isn't back there anymore. So maybe this press turns into more, you know, a 2-2-1, not necessarily a trap, but just to get the game to slow down a little bit. But going back to the question, I think, you know, one of the things too is the guard play. So you got a bunch of guys that can score. And, you know, I told Cam Hayes this when he was on the podcast with me as well, just having guys move, be difficult to guard. When you're standing in place, it's easy to guard. Obviously we've come accustomed to seeing, you know, high pick and roll, side pick and roll. We've always seen the Iverson cut. They still run that little Iverson cut into, you know, that double drag action. We've seen that, but now they've kind of added that little UCLA cut, which is, you know, that little rip screen, whatever, UCLA cut, rip screen, whatever you want to call it, where, you know, they're getting Jericho through to the corner, you know, big man's coming up, setting a high pick and roll or on the wing. So, I mean, they are moving it a little bit more. I mean, obviously I think Coach Keats is going to continue to run a lot of ball screen. I think that's just today's game. That's how they do it. But there's also ways that you can run pick and roll and give yourself the most, you know, chances to be successful with that movement on, you know, the weak side, setting a flare screen, just moving and making the defense think about you. So that is, that's definitely one of the things that I've noticed. And I think once ACC season starts, I've kind of got into looking at the schedule a little bit. And I think in December they got Nebraska. So this released on Thursday. So they'll play Nebraska tomorrow on Wednesday. They got Louisville, Purdue, who's the number two team in the nation, which they have arguably, you know, a 7'3" dude, which could be the best big man in the nation. Dude, so
they're large every year.
They're huge. they grow them different up in Indiana. That's Jeez. Why. And then they got Louisville. So, I mean, they don't have an easy December. So I'm really interested to see once they get, you know, into some of these really, really big games, into the ACC play, you know, what are they going to do? Well, right. They're going to have to change some things up, I think, for sure, because the more talented teams you play, I don't think you'll be able to get away with a lot of the things that, you know, they've necessarily done early on. You know, the freshmen are going to continue to learn, yada, yada, yada. But that's one of the things I'm really interested to see, is because once we kind of get in that schedule, you know, are we going to start to see maybe a little bit more double team, a little bit more sit back, KYP, know your personnel, close out hard to the shooters, kind of pack the paint a little bit more to give those bigs a little bit of help. So that's one of the things that I'm kind of interested in, especially, you know, I'm interested in this Purdue game. I think that'll be.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be one of those where I'm sending five guys. I'm sending five. Just make this big guy pass it and hope he throws a turnover.
Yeah, man. That'll be a tall task, literally.
Yeah.
That'll be a good one early.
Yeah, at least it's in New York and it's not, you know, at Purdue, because that would
be. Yeah, we actually played at Purdue, too. I'm sure you've been there as an Indiana kid. I mean,
yeah.
That's an unbelievable atmosphere to play in, too. So,
yeah,
I'm glad we got them in a neutral site, too.
Mackey's a good place. I've been to a couple games there. And when I got recruited, I was able to go to a few games there. But They do. They pack the crowd, and especially this year with them being really good. I mean, they're a national championship contender. They're gonna really have that place rocking.
For State to find success this season and make the tournament, what will they have to improve on?
This is a good question.
Maybe the most important. So I think a combination of everything that's been said here, right? And I think especially in the last question, Scott, you basically kind of answered that question already. You know, what are they going to have to do to find success and honestly make a run, you know, deep into the season? And that is, now as we start to get into better competition, we're going to have to change some things up, you know, particularly defensively, because now we'll see some bigs that, you know, if you don't bring some help, they're going to make you pay. You know, that's just the level of competition has gone up. But also, you know, we've got to do a good job of – so on offense, you know, like you mentioned with the movement, you know, they're going to be facing some guards now that they can guard the ball. They can stay in front of the ball. So yeah. How are we going to get into the paint? You know, how are we going to – how are we going to make these plays? You know, right now, you know, I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but, you know, it's not like we blow the door down with three-point shooting, right? Yeah. You know, we've got a bunch of guys that, you know, get in the lane, make plays. They can make open shots, sure. But I think in order for us to make a deep run, and I'm not just talking about the defensive stuff of Manny being out and us having to, you know, come together as a team and, you know, collectively, as you said, rebound and get stopped, you know, just more so offensively. You can go as far as your guards will take you. You know, you've got four guards this year that all bring something to the table. So it's just a matter of how can you get the most out of all of them all the time? You know, it can't be Cam Hayes and then one night it's not Cam Hayes and it's one other guy. Like, how can you get three or four of you on the same page all the time?
Yeah, well, I think too, getting out in transition a little bit more, you know, obviously that starts with, you have to get a stop. Like that's one of the things that, you know, I've been critical of, you know, NC State, especially in the past, is when they don't get stops, they can't run, they can't push the ball. And on the contrary, if you don't get baskets, you can't set up your press. So I feel like, you know, Coach Keats has kind of been behind the eight ball because at times they cannot score. So they can't set up that press to turn guys over, you know. And on the same end of it, if you're walking the ball up the court all the time because they're getting easy baskets, now you're running your half court. And I don't think that's where NC State is at their best. I think they're at their best when they're running. So I guess I got another question just kind of on that. So, you know, obviously we've talked about with Manny Bates out. So we've talked about possibly packing it in because you don't have that shot blocker back there. So for this team to have success, maybe Coach Keats is thinking on the other end, I got a lot of guard play. I'm just going to press the heck out of them, try and turn guys over. Is that something you would also be thinking? I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily the right answer, but that's something with him, when he's got seven guys on the bench that could do that, that's something he may also be thinking.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but early in the year in one of his press conferences, one of the things he said is his team, he's got some depth this year, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And obviously, you know, a long ACC season, I mean, that's a weapon if you've got depth.
Yeah.
So I believe, you know, like you said, and I believe two things can be true. It could be true that he utilizes all those guards and he just tries to create chaos, you know, yeah. And he just keeps bringing them out. Like, we got to play fast and we got to generate turnovers because we're not the largest team. So we've got to manufacture some easy buckets. Or you can say he tightens up his rotation and they start packing it in a little more.
Yeah,
I think he knows. I think Coach Keats knows, you know, the answer, or he knows his group of guys better because he's with them every day. So I imagine early on, this is just a guess, I imagine that he's going to come out and he's going to try to pressure the heck out of folks.
Yeah.
Because honestly, why would you change it if you, like, you should at least give it a chance, right?
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. So I'm going to kind of stay on this. So this is one of the things that I've kind of been for. Cam Hayes at the one, Baby T at the two, Casey Marcel at the three, Sebron at the four, and Jericho Helms at the five. switch everything, double team the big.
In that case, if they're going to play like that, I like it. It's got to be almost like Houston was a couple years ago.
Yep.
You know, the small ball. That'll be a really tough lineup for the opposing team to defend.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking about how I can create a mismatch on the offensive end, because it's going to be very, very hard to guard. Obviously, the defensive end, you may take your lumps. I don't know if you can necessarily get away with this, you know, when you're playing a Purdue with a legitimate big, or a Carolina that's got, you know, a legitimate big. You know, Duke got a legitimate big. So I don't think you can get away with this all the time. But if, you know, if I'm playing a team and I'm looking across the way and I'm like, they don't really have a back to the basket guy that's going to hurt us, that's where I may, you know, go to this little small ball lineup and, you know, switch everything, be aggressive, and just be dogs and gang rebound. And it's one of the things I actually wouldn't mind seeing it, because I think Jericho, we've seen him do it. I remember last year we played Carolina and they played the two big lineups and he was guarding the big. I mean, he's capable, and we were not sending any help. And then right. You got Sebron, who's 6'7".
Yep.
You know, I mean, he's not overly big, you know.
He can hold his own.
Exactly. He plays hard. You know what you're going to get. And Casey Marcel's the same way. He's tough. He's gritty. He plays hard. I just feel like, you know, it's something that I would look at. That's for sure. So
I like
it. All right. I'm just saying, that's just me thinking about it. I would love to see it. So if Coach Keats happens to see it, give it a chance. Maybe against Nebraska. If we can get up 30 tomorrow against Nebraska, you can throw it out there and just give it a look. So, all right. So now we're going to the next segment. So we got this called the starting five. So five questions. Everybody gets this that comes on. Need a local real estate agent? As we all know, real estate market is crazy right now. Maybe you have questions, or maybe you just need an honest opinion from a trusted real estate professional to ensure your best interest is protected. Whether you're buying, selling, or investing, call Refivey with Dogwood Properties. For a seamless home buying or selling experience, give Refivey a call. Special to our audience, if you are considering the possibility of buying or selling a home, call Reef on his personal cell, whether you're a buyer, seller, or investor, for free consultation. His number is 919-995-3111. Again, it's 919-995-3111. He's a state grad, big NC State fan, good friend of mine. He's one of the best in the triangle. Please, if you guys need any real estate advice, anything, give him a call. So starting five, first question, dinner with any two people dead or alive, who'd you choose?
Muhammad Ali.
Okay, that's a good one.
And shoot. I'm gonna go with Michael Jackson.
That's good. Old Gary, Indiana guy. All right. So now you've had this question before. So you can give the same answer. You cannot give the same. We can go back to our archives and find what you said before. Where are you taking them? On or near campus? Anywhere you want to eat, on or near campus, your go-to spot, you're going to take Muhammad Ali and Michael Jackson.
So on the last time I was with you, I said Emilio's.
All right.
And that still holds true.
Emilio's is always great. It's, you know, it's hands down the most popular choice that we've had on this podcast so far.
Yeah. Like I'm not abandoning it, but if for some reason Emilio's was closed, probably take them to Sammy's.
Sammy's is a good one. Sammy's, I haven't had as many Sammy's as I expected. I feel like Sammy's was a big spot, especially when I was there. I mean, it still is now.
Get some wings.
Yeah, wings. They got those little queso fries and those gravy fries. They got some good stuff there. So the most memorable NC State moment that you had?
Dude, beating LSU. Oh, man. Hey, if I'm going there, for 2 years, and then all of a sudden, you know, my last year at State, we make the tournament, and we play them. That's definitely not the way you want to end your college career. Basically the girlfriend that you dumped.
Yeah.
And then the way it happened, and BJ throwing up the hook shot.
Yep. And,
like, that's hands down my best moment on the basketball team at NC State.
Well, I could only imagine, especially after you transferred. Now, is it Johnny Jones?
Yep.
Was he there while you were there?
Oh, Johnny Jones came in while I was leaving. So.
Okay. All right. So you didn't actually play for him.
We just beat
him the other day too. So we might've gave him double dose, but you weren't there. So next question, who at the end of the season will be the MVP for this team?
Sebron. I'm gonna hold true to it.
All right. Well, I said at the beginning of the year, I went a dark horse. I said Casey Marcel, MVP, and then my dark horse was Cam Hayes. I thought for this team to really, really be successful, that's where it needed to be. And that was prior to Manning being out. But I think now looking at it, I think Sebron's gonna be the right choice. All right. So the best advice you've ever received, and by who?
Actually, I'll tell you something that I heard just probably yesterday I wrote it down. In order to get, everyone wants to get to the mountaintop, but you got to sow in the valley. So heard that from a guy named True Pettigrew.
All right. Well, I'm impressed that it just happened the other day and I asked you that question, honestly.
Yeah, fresh on my mind, man. I wrote it down.
Awesome. That's awesome. All right. Well, this is it, guys. I appreciate all of Wolfpack Nation, everybody supporting us. I appreciate Alex coming on, helping us with the questions. Ralston, as always, it's good to see you. We'll get out and play golf soon, I'm sure. Obviously, we got the Nebraska game coming up. I think there's one game in between the Purdue game. Then we got Louisville. So we got a tough December coming up. Hopefully, the NC State can play well. We'll be back next week. Ralston, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it, as always.
As always, man. Appreciate you having me.
All right. Thank you. So anybody, please like, follow, subscribe, Field of 68 Network. You can get these on Spotify, podcasts, all that stuff. Go Pack.